You're still Love God. Talk Radio.
Pray for my sister Sam. For no woman.
Such freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah. I'm not going back, moving ahead. Here to declare to you my past is over.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and your girl here is rejoicing and glad in it. Come on now, can we get a shout to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I am blessed this morning to have been filled up already with the word of God, filled up with prayer, filled up with the knowledge that God is good. Hallelujah. For I know that God has blessed me beyond measure. I'm blessed beyond measure, and I can only thank God for his grace. Thank God for his love. Thank God for being so good. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! I'm filled up this morning. Thank you, Pastor Jesse, for your prayers. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for your message. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for all of you this morning. I thank you for joining me this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the sick, lifting up the bereaved, lifting up the turmoil that is in this world, Father God. We ask you, Father God, who is good and greatly to be praised, to help this world, O God, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to stop conflict, O God, based on ego, based on greed, based on the love of mammon instead of the love of you. Father God, we pray today for the families that have lost loved ones, for the Rome family. I pray for healing for all my clients, Lord. You know who they are. You know that they are wonderful women of God who believe and trust in you. Some have been sick. Some of their friends have been diagnosed with cancer. Some are just making it through. But Lord, I know that you are God that can heal. You are God that can bring peace. You are God that can bring joy. Lord, I lift up one of my best friends, Rona, and ask you, Father, please to remove the fluid from her lungs, Lord God. To please, oh God, if it's your will, give us some more time, but give her time with health, oh God. But we know that COVID does not care if you're good, if you're bad, or if you're ugly, that it just attacks. But, Lord, I know that you have given her strength. You've gotten her through cancer, Lord, and I know you can get her through these complications from COVID, Lord God, that she will not have to be on a ventilator, that she will not have to go through, Father God, because she is ready. Whenever you're ready to call her home. But Lord God, I ask you to give her a little more time to be that grandmother, to be the wife, to be the best friend, to be all that she can be, the mother, Lord God, of her wonderful children. Father God, for she is a prayer warrior. she's getting prayers through. And Lord God, today we are praying for her. Father God, I lift up this word this morning that is going forth. May it touch hearts, minds, and spirits, that someone listening will be saved, will be set free, will be filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing that you, Lord, are good and worthy to be praised. I praise you, Lord, for you are my strength, are my salvation. You are my Redeemer. You are my Father. You are my disciplinarian. And you are the one that kisses my boo-boos and makes all things better. Father God, I just thank you for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty Father, an awesome and mighty God. And Father God, I pray, as I do every day, Lord God, I pray for you to increase as I decrease. For Lord God, everything that I do, everything that I say, Lord, I pray for it to be a blessing to someone, and that it shows all those that see me that I am your daughter and that you have given me light to not hide under a bushel, but to put on a hill, that those that see me see you in me. So, Father God, you are my strength. You are my Redeemer. And I ask, Lord, that this word that I speak today be given to you and that you, oh God, be through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I am filled up this morning. Family, as you can tell, your host is all hyped up. Whew, hallelujah. I thank God on this morning. I thank Carl for the morning glory, God for the morning glory nation that I am a part of. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for coming back and for moving forward in the word that God has given you. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Luke. And Lord God, thank you for a word to give us a thought that we cannot serve two masters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Fred. All the folks thinking one thing when it really means another. I just thank God for you. And I thank God for the word that I received. Because understand, family, as ministers and teachers and preachers, you've got to get your feeling too. Because you give out, you got to be refilled. And I'm not talking about $4 or $5 gas. I'm talking with the glory of God. We got to be filled up to give out. So you got to find your own feeling station. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for the filling station of Table of Life Ministry. I'm thankful for the Genesis prayer call. I'm thankful for Pastor Hugh and the Morning Glory Nation for refilling. I'm thankful for all the different ministries I listen to. I thank God for you, Dr. Stanley. Woo! And I pray continued long life for that mighty man of God. I just can't say it enough. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Dr. Stanley, I just love me some Stanley, some Charles F. Stanley, some Dr. Charles F. Stanley, some Pastor Charles F. Stanley, some Reverend Charles F. Stanley. I thank God for Dr. Stanley because I could not do this ministry. This Bible has been the most, I say the best Bible I have used to do this show. We've read a lot. We've been through the Hebrew Bible. We've been through the Greek Bible. We've been through the chronological. We've been through some Amplified. We've been through King James, New King James. We've been through it all. But this has been one of the best that we have done. This biblical principle for each day of the year. Hallelujah. I thank God for Dr. Stanley. And I ask God to continue watching over him and blessing him. So let's get into our word this morning. And as always, family, it is a great word today. So get your Bible, because that's what this is. This is Bible study. And I am, as I speak this on the regular, I am looking for readers, especially King James readers who would like to read some morning, if God permits and God has and you have time. Because I want to give everybody what they want to hear. On occasion, I will do a Christian Standard Bible from Dr. Tony Evans when God permits. But mostly we are in King James. And our title for this morning, as we prayed this morning, also is God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his goodness and his grace. And we praise him this morning. We are coming out of Numbers chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse 6. Proverbs 31, verses 11 through 18. Psalm 31, verses 11 through 18. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. And our title is coming out of Mark chapter 10. So let's get started. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry, prepared with oil, and when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them? And you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child, to the land which you swore to their fathers. Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? But they wept all over me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here. And now, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wrath in you. Excuse me. We all go through. Moses was going through. Because when you deal with folks that don't appreciate what they have, all they're worried about is what they can get. We got to appreciate what we have. Appreciate the blessings that God has given you. God has given overflow to many of us. Be a blessing. God is wanting us to bless somebody else. Bless somebody with your overflow. And thank God that you got it. You know I have a tendency to whine and complain to God about some things. And I have to just say, stop right now and say, Lord, forgive me. Because you have blessed me beyond measure, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful, and I know that you blessed me. And I just want to say, Lord, let me be a blessing to somebody else who is in need, God, because you know everything. You see everything, and you are good and greatly to be praised. I'm thankful today. Many know that I had a car accident in January, and it's taken me from January to last week dealing with my insurance on getting a car. Well, I'm praying to God this morning. I got a new car on Friday, and I'm telling you, it is beautiful. Better than any car I've ever had, and I know God gave it to me. Because I got to have my rental car back by tomorrow. And I'm thankful. And I'm blessed. And I know that I'm blessed. God blesses you when you do what you do for God. Without complaint. Without talking about this and that. But thanking God for his grace and his mercy. Thanking God for his kindness. Thanking God for his love. Because God will give you what you need and more when you least expect it. And then he will take care of it. All you got to do is say thank you. So say with me, thank you, Lord, that I'm alive today. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me eyes to see, ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We got to get out of self and get into God. Because God is good and greatly to be praised. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whining and complaining. God, you getting food from heaven. You think this through. You getting food from heaven and you whining and complaining. Sustenance every day. Whining and complaining. God gave me a car to drive. Thank you, Lord. Whether it was a rental or not, I had a vehicle to drive every day. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for USAA. And a husband that had foresight. Thank you, God. And as we continue, so the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with, come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? But it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, not 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days. But for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you have said, I will give them meat, and they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. Come on now. God don't have short arms. Woo! You better say it, Lord. And then let's keep it going, because God is speaking this morning. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to be to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' sister, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake, or that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them? And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Now wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey and on the side, and another day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they burned the people who had yielded to cravings. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people moved to Hazeroth and camped in Hazeroth. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now here, prejudice, bigotry, had come into play because Moses' wife was an Ethiopian, meaning she was black. And you had this issue about her race, her ethnicity, because she was a woman that was with Moses way before he came back. This woman was the one that pulled, that cut the foreskin off and gave it to God to save his life. This was the woman whose father, whew, was there for Moses, who was a man of God. But yet, jealousy and envy come in, even in families, where one don't like what the other's doing, of the grace that the other has been given, or the blessings that the other has been given. So instead of standing up for Moses' wife, they resented him for having her as his wife. Come on now. Because God don't see color. God don't see ethnicity. God sees the heart. And Zipporah had a good heart and loved her husband. So let's keep it going, because God's getting ready to show this brother and sister a thing or two. And that Moses is the one that he chose. But he also gave them gifts. Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was the priest to God. But yet they complained. Come on now. Let's see what it says. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. Come on now. Even plainly and not in dark things. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous as white as snow. Okay, now. Turned to white. Because we know they were Middle Easterners, so they were brown. Little brown, maybe a light brown, or caramel if you want to go with all that nonsense. But all of a sudden she came white. She became white. White as snow. That's what the word says. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of the mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, oh God, I pray. As they talking about him, as they coveting his gifts, as they doing their thing, he still lifts them up. He still asks God to heal her. That's love. That's a godly love. Because Moses understood and knew God is good and greatly to be praised. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had put spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people moved from Hazaroth and camped in the wilderness for him. God don't play. Touch not my anointed. They put their mouth on their brother who was God's anointed. Be careful who you talk about. You better repent quick and in a hurry. So I just say, Lord, forgive me for anything that I have said or done against your divine majesty. I repented before I took communion, and I repent again. Lord, you know that this little membrane can talk and get us all in trouble. So, Father God, I ask you to keep my tongue behind my teeth, that if I don't have anything good to say, then let me keep my mouth shut in Jesus' name. We should all have that philosophy in our life. If you don't have something good to say, don't say nothing at all. Just be quiet. Unless you're asking for prayer for someone. That's a different thing. If you're getting a word out because somebody needs prayer, you got to tell the situation. And once the situation is spoken and you prayed about it, let it go and leave it alone. God's got it in his hands. Numbers 11 and 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. But the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. And this is life lesson. Just as God always blesses an obedient spirit, so he always judges a complaining spirit. No one can grumble and honor God at the same time. That's when we got to say, Lord, forgive me for my grumbling spirit. Forgive me for not being patient with you. Lord, forgive me for just my unbelief. We got to ask God to forgive us when we step out of line and have them grumbling spirits. I need meat. I need this. I need that. God already knows what we need. Lord, I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for every bill being paid. I thank you for having my tithes and offering. I thank you, Lord, for every debt being paid. I thank you, Lord, for all things coming from you. I thank you, Lord. No more grumbling. No more complaining. As the song said, I believe your word. No more crying. No more complaining. I believe your word is true. Lord, you promised never to leave me. And I will put my trust in you. Come on now. We got to put our trust in the Lord. Thank you, Anthony Brown, and group therapy, for I trust you. I will trust you, Lord. We got to trust the Lord every day. Numbers 11, 20. You have despised the Lord who is among you. We despise the Lord who lives among us when we declare his provision insufficient and his plan defective. How much better to praise the Lord for who he is than to complain about what we don't have. Our frustrations can make us doubt the Lord's power and wisdom, but we must always remember that God is sovereign and fully able to fulfill all his promises. Thank God today. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his love. God is good and greatly to be praised. Numbers 12 and 14. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. God is gracious, but he will not be mocked. Sin remains sin no matter who commits it, and God will respond to it. Always his forgiveness of our sin does not necessarily mean the removal of all the consequences of our actions. Woo, Lord. And when God beats you behind, you know it's been tore up. I'm going to tell you that. Been there got my spanking, and I thank God for it. Getting a spanking right now over some things that I got to get done. But I know that my daddy God's going to help me do it, because he won't bring you to it unless he's going to bring you through it in Jesus' name. Psalm 31:11-18, I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. David speaking this morning. I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side, while they take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you. What? Come on now. Oh, Lord, I say, you are my God. Can y'all say that? Let's go back to that 14th verse. But as for me, can y'all say that with me? Put your hand over your heart, because this is a pledge to God. As for me, I trust in you, Lord. Hallelujah. I say, you are my God. As for me, I trust in you, Lord, and I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuous against the righteous. Oh, Jesus. Proverbs 11:12-14. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Again, keep your tongue behind your teeth. You don't have to comment on everything. We need to learn to just be quiet and listen. Hallelujah. And I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm talking to Bridget. I'm talking to myself, telling myself, keep your tongue behind your teeth. Hold your peace. You don't have to comment on everything. I'm speaking about me, not anybody but me. If you're in the same spot, then you say, Lord, forgive me, because I can only ask forgiveness for all of my sins, seen and unseen, because God knows everything about me, my good, my bad, my ugly. And I say this word, but a man of understanding holds his peace. I want to be a woman of understanding and hold my peace. I don't have to speak every time somebody says something else. I got to learn to listen. Because God is always speaking. All we have to do is be quiet and listen. And I'm going back to Psalm 31:15. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemy. The hand of men can oppose us and harass us, but as children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Thank you, Jesus. The hands that really matter belong to God. And what did God say? Let's go back one more time to Numbers. And in Numbers verse 23 of chapter 11, God says, and the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. Don't play with God. God don't have a little bitty arm. God is sovereign. And I say it one more time, but as for me, I can only speak for myself. You can only speak for yourself. As for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. Hallelujah. And I say this morning, God is good and greatly to be praised. I praise you today, Lord. I give you honor today, Lord. I give you glory today, Lord, for you are good and greatly to be praised today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to our New Testament word. And our word today is coming out of Mark chapter 10. and his dead seed. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Testing him. Now, we all know we got to divorce because Moses had to let him have divorce because of infidelity. Let's call it sexual sin is what causes more divorces and money than anything else. But let's just see what Jesus had to say about divorce. And he said, and he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation," can y'all say that with me? "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." No! Damn. "What God has joined together, let what? Therefore, God, let not man separate what God has joined together." And that's the caveat, what God has joined together. Sometimes folks joined together were not joined together by God. They were joined together by lust. They were joined together by greed. They were joined together by everything but God and God love and friendship and all the things that come from God. They were joined because they wanted to do the hippity-dippity and had a baby and decided to get married. He just wanted somebody to dominate. We got to understand every relationship may not be ordained by God, but the word tells us what God has joined together, let not men separate. I'm grateful that I was joined by God to the husband I had for 32 years. I was grateful, but I understand that I am a widow. I am a woman of God, a celibate woman of God. I'm just calling it like it is, and I'm thankful for God to give me that grace. I'm married to the Lord, and I'm grateful for that husband that I have. You know, we got to understand that when God is ready to send somebody else in your life, God will send them. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. We got to go to Proverbs 18, and it'll give you everything you need and more than you could ever ask for when it comes to the word. Proverbs 18 tells you to train up a child. Proverbs 18 tells you a whole lot of stuff. But that good thing, you're only a good thing when he comes to you. You don't go to him. You ain't got to be looking, and you're not going to find me up. No. If I'm meant to have another husband and be joined as one, then God will let somebody know that I'm a good thing. Hallelujah. And I put it in his hand, thanking God. Whatever is God's will, I'm filled with. Hallelujah. God's will be done, not mine. In Jesus' name. And let's keep it moving. It says that in the house, his disciples, who asked him again about the same matter. So he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Then they brought little children to him, and he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Come on now. Jesus had to even get his disciples straight about some things. "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them by his arm laid his hands on them and blessed them. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I'm going to put a pin right there and go back up to the church. When my youngest granddaughter was probably about five, I think she was like 5 or 6 years old, she got the Holy Spirit one morning in church, one afternoon in church, because we had afternoon services at the time. The Holy Spirit hit this baby, and she just started crying. And I'm like looking, I'm like, "What happened?" I said, "Are you all right? Why are you crying?" "I don't know. I just know I need to be baptized." She's sick. What does she know about baptism? But the Holy Spirit hit her and said, "You need to be baptized." 6 years old. Holy Spirit, this baby couldn't stop crying. And Pastor Jesse knew she had been touched by the Holy Spirit. The word that was preached that morning, that afternoon, touched my baby's heart. And she wanted to be baptized. God would do what God would do. And I thank God that she wanted to be baptized, that she wanted to feel that whatever it was that God said, what did he say to them? "I say you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. But Jesus says that let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." To have that freedom to just feel the presence of God as a child is something about it. I was saved at 9 years old. I had been baptized in the river. I had been sprinkled. But when I went in the water in my 50s and was submerged in baptism, I came up and I just felt I felt the presence of God that I glowed. My pastor said, "You glowing." I was glowing. I just felt it, that I had to do what I had to do. I had to be born again. Hallelujah. So I understand my baby's cries, that baby, that little girl's cries to be saved, to be baptized. And this young man, so Jesus said to him, verse 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." Now you think this through. Jesus poured these out for a reason. People sin, adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie, do not defraud. In other words, don't covet somebody else's stuff. Honor your father and your mother. So let's look at those one more time. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, which is also right there with the defrauding and the stealing. Honor your parents. Five. Or six, if you're looking at it this way. Keep a commandment. Honor, we say, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? If you do these things, you're not loving yourself and you're not loving your neighbor. But then let's keep it moving. What else did Jesus say? And he said, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "Oh, one thing you love. Go your way, that whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And we want to be rich, you know, today in the message that I heard before I came on to do this show was, who wants to be rich? And everybody wanted to be rich. But the question is, what riches do you want? Is your rich about having more money? Is your rich about having more stuff? Is your rich about the world? Or is your rich about being more to God? Is your rich about having more salvation? Is your rich about giving more to those that are in need? What is your rich? We got to understand that all the stuff that you accumulate in this world, you cannot take it with you. You can't take that nice car. I thank God for my nice car, but I can't take it with me. I thank God for the overflow of everything. Clothes, shoes, all that stuff that I cannot take with me. If God takes us today, everything you have, your house, your car, your bus token, whatever you got, your change jar, you name it, the new washing machine, the new stove, your new apartment, your new house, whatever you got, it cannot go with you. The only thing we can ask God for is the riches, that our soul is rich with him. For God is good and greatly to be praised. We got to say, what did even Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Whew. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. God is good. Not me, not you, not any of us. We strive to be better. We strive to be good. But God is good all the time, and greatly to be praised. We got to look up and give God the glory. We got to look up and tell God, thank you for what I have on this earth, but I want to be rich in you. That you can take with you. That richness of God, your soul being saved, you can take with you. But all the stuff in the world is just that, stuff that can't go anywhere but sometimes to the dumpster, and sometimes to just whoever wants it, because your soul can't take it. And so many times, unfortunately, it's left for your children to fight about. Get a will, get insurance, take care of your family, because all your stuff will still be here when you are gone. And this body that we have that's outside, it will be dust and ashes in the ground. Can't take it with you. All you can take is what's inside of you, the spirit. And may your spirit be light. May your spirit be rich in the Lord. Because Jesus has told us again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying amongst themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. Can y'all say it with me? But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I will say that one more time. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. Highlightable, y'all. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Just the word of God. Understand it. Many who are first will be last, and the last first. So understand, don't think that because somebody's got this or got that, that you don't have it. Don't think that you might not be the first to enter the kingdom. And the have may be the last to enter the kingdom. Just know that everything that we are, who we are, what we have, all comes from God. The Lord gives and the Lord can just as easily take away. Give God grace. Give God praise. Let everybody, let us say that all that have breath, praise the Lord. And let's go through a couple of life lessons. And this one is from Mark chapter 10, verse 5. Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. God often acts in pragmatic ways toward us. He gives us a high standard to shoot for. But since he remembers that we are dust, Psalms 103, verse 14, he also keeps our weaknesses in mind. Yet that is not an excuse. He always calls us to grow spiritually. God is not a God of divorce. But understand that caveat. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. That's it. What God has joined together. If God ain't joined it together, then it's not going to work. You'll have turmoil. You'll have all kind of problems. And I'm sure there are folks out there that can testify who God didn't join and what happened. God knows everything and sees everything. I'm grateful that God joined me and my husband. I'm grateful that God joined so many others that I know, because I see, yeah, we all went through our, we go through issues, but it's not like the ones that were not joined by God. Whew, I'm just speaking the truth this morning. Thank you, Lord, for whatever you've given me, because it's for somebody. Mark 10:18, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. A word for this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. Jesus did not contradict the man's description of him as good. Jesus merely asked him why he used the term. As God in the flesh, Jesus was truly good. But he wanted the man to see it for himself. Thanking God for Jesus, the one and only man that has walked this earth that was good, 100% good, because he was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And what did Jesus say? Huh, only God, but one. That is God. There's only one good person, good anything. No one is good but one, and that is God. We strive to be better. And I have one last thing before we get out of here. We have a lot of words this morning, I know. But this is also from our psalm. And it says this: what should I do during times of adversity? We've all had it. Because part of life is facing adversity, even the kind of adversity that challenges our faith. King David provides us some great advice when it comes to facing times of adversity. As part of his final blessing to his son Solomon, David said to him, you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. That's a Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 word as well. But this is from Chronicles chapter 22, verse 13. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. That's good advice for us today, too. It's still true that obedience always brings blessings. Time and again in the law of Moses, we find the word keep. The children of Israel were commanded to keep the feast, to keep the law and commandments, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to keep their oaths to God, to keep themselves from evil. Moses said to the children of Israel as he led them into a covenant relationship with God, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Deuteronomy 29:9. To keep means to hold fast, cherish at the same time. When adversity strikes, that should be our mindset. Of all else, we need to hold fast to the Lord and to cherish our relationship with Him. Rather than blame God or turn from God, we need to turn to God and rely on His help. Keeping God's law in the face of adversity actually leads us toward prosperity, a better state of being. When adversity hits, those around you may criticize you for clinging to faith or reaffirming your belief that God is a good and benevolent Heavenly Father. They may mock you or scorn you. Don't feel dismayed. If that happens, continue to keep God's word and remain faithful in your relationship with the Lord. Remember what David said, I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they seem to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies. Psalms 31:13-15. And as we get ready to wrap it up, the word of God says that Dr. Stanley has given us, ask the Lord to give you courage, family, to withstand the hurtful comments of others, and to be able to give a bold witness about God's power and presence, even in your time of trouble. Keep God first in all that you do, family. And remember, as you go through this day, that God is good and greatly to be praised. And as Jesus said to us, with men it is impossible, but not with God. But with God, all things are possible. Have a possible day today and know that God is good and greatly to be praised. Before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. Good morning. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace. She all up in the word this morning, isn't she? And always, and believe that He will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And again, as Jesus said, Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is possible, but not with God. But with God, all things are possible. And as Sister Carolyn said one more time, no matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace and believe that He will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday and have a blessed day, family. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, and know that you are covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. For our God is good and greatly to be praised. Have a day. It is a wrap. That's why I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.